I want to start and end each episode with the number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. If you ever feel like giving up or that everything is just not enough, help is available. You can talk to a counselor and it can be 100% confidential. Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to episode number 3 of Funny Not Funny. My name is Emma Kay. I'd like to take you into the world of comedians that struggle with mental illness, physical disabilities, and other struggles that you would think would prevent them from being funny. Every week I like to start with a quote. This one is coming from Richard Lewis. He says, quote, "I despised myself from pretty much close to getting out of the womb. I was always wrong. Let's start with that. When you're always wrong, you seek an audience to disprove that theory." End quote. I like this quote because it sounds super simple on the surface, but it's really not. Some people hate themselves so much that they look for the approval of others in order to make up for what they lack. I hope people don't necessarily have to deal with this, though I know a lot of people do. And I know for comedians it's actually fairly easier to deal with than it may be for the common average Joe that's just walking around out there that you don't realize is struggling. We can put up that mask, and we can make people like us. And we're probably pretty likable to begin with, but we don't really know that unless there's some kind of applause or some kind of positive reinforcement. Today I'm talking with Tristan Miller. He's a comic, he's a writer, a performer, an actor, he does it all. He also struggles with bipolar, ADHD, and other stuff that comes along with the two. I'm super excited to talk to him. He has so much to say, and he has so much inspiration to spread. Right after the break, we're going to go ahead and start chatting. Tristan. How are you doing? I literally usually give people like a warning that I'm going to start recording, but I'm so fucking excited to talk to you that I just started recording.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
No, for real though. I watched your show, the Manic Impressive. Oh. And I am obsessed with you now.
Well, thanks.
And I literally have never heard mental illness be described so accurately and so funny all at the same time.
Oh.
So I'm not even going to do an interview. I'm just going to talk to you because this is perfect. What you are doing is exactly what I'm trying to do. And I love you for that. Oh. I will ask you, though, do tell me about your show. And please do tell me about your podcast, Positive and Negative, because we're basically on the same page here. I don't want to step on your toes. Hopefully we're both going after the same exact goal. So, but go ahead.
Sure. Well, with Positive and Negative, I'm not really worried about you stepping on toes because, I mean, you're going to bring different people to the table, such as me. I did have someone interview me for Positive and Negative and it went not great. So you're already like treading different water than I am. Oh yeah, and also like everyone's perspective is different. It's just like stand up, you know. So don't worry about that. There's also a bunch of other mental health podcasts. It turns out when I started, I was like, "Hey, I haven't heard of anyone," and then I googled it, and I was like, "Oh, beans."
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, my podcast is specifically geared towards how mental health relates to the artistic process. So it's not just like general mental health stuff. I specifically have artists on or creators on and seeing how their mental health coincides with their creative output, whether or not they think it's a benefit or a drawback, hence positive or negative. And I've been really lucky to have a lot of great folks on. I got to talk to Gary Goldman, who is a wonderful man. He's so sweet and incredibly funny. His episode is also like, he's really open about everything, obviously, because he, you know, he had a whole comedy special about it.
Yeah.
And so his episode I'm particularly fond of. And then I got to meet, well, I didn't meet, I had a call, much like we're doing now, with Ahmed Best, who plays Jar Jar Binks in Star Wars Episode 1 through 3.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I lucked out. I lucked out. I knew
Yeah,
someone who
that's
knew him.
amazing.
Yeah, like it's completely like a fluke. But he was the reason I started doing acting. Like I can trace it back to watching Star Wars Episode 1 and going, well, he's funny. What is he doing? Oh, it's physical, comedy. So I started watching like Chaplin and stuff. And then my sibling was in a physical comedy troupe at the local theater. And then so I'm like, oh, I'll just keep doing that. And then I just never stopped doing it. So that was really surreal to get that opportunity. And I'm incredibly grateful for it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
I'm really happy with the podcast, and I really like doing it. It's a little hard now under these conditions, just because I think everyone's stressed out. So it's really difficult for me to be like put the empathy I need to be a good
Yeah.
interviewer. And then also like
Put the positive in the positive and negative,
well,
so to speak.
yeah.
Yeah.
And then also I really have a hard time when I can't like look someone in the eye and be like, okay, now we're here. And specifically for something so intimate as talking about like mental health, like having people in the room is, I just think, so m much better.
Yeah, it's important. And I apologize for that because here we are. I was just sitting in an
Well,
interview with only
listen, you're
audio.
doing the best you can. We're all working, we're trying to work around it. The fact that you just didn't stop at all is amazing. So, yeah. Like I know
Thank
that a lot of people have like either started a podcast now because they're like, I have all this free time, or they have stopped theirs because they are like, I have all this free time and I don't know what to do.
Yeah. I'm super introverted. So this I've been like preparing for this my entire life. And I've been sitting on this podcast for like a year now,
Sure.
and I kept trying to tell myself like, just do it, just do it, just do it. And I was always like, I don't have the time. And like, I totally did. I had plenty of time, but I just didn't do
Yeah.
it. But now that I'm like forced to actually show people that I can do something in a time that I have, this has become a really great time to do it. And it's been a great distraction to everything that's going on in the world around me right
Yeah.
now. So, and all of us. And honestly, even interviewing guests and stuff, it's kind of a raw time to talk about anxiety and depression and, every kind of mental illness under the sun, because not only people with mental illness are struggling with it, but people that never really struggled with it are starting to realize how hard it is. And, the whole psychology business in general is probably booming
Oh,
right
for
now.
sure. Yeah.
Pharmaceuticals are clapping their hands and everything else. But one thing I wanted to ask you too, the show that you do, Manic Impressive,
Yeah.
what gave you the, let's say, the courage to get up there and just be like, hey guys, this is me, like, I'm nuts, laugh about it,
Sure.
and I'm saying that from someone that's nuts,
Oh
so.
yeah, absolutely. Full tilt bozo, I understand. But it's one of those things. Number one, where did you see it? I want to know.
Well, I saw the 6 minute clip that was on YouTube.
Ah, gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. I was like, you saw the whole thing?
Yeah, no, so
But
it's a 6 minute one.
yeah. But yeah, the well, I mean, number one, I figured they're gonna be able to tell anyway, that I'm insane. So I might as well own up to it. Number one. Number two, weirdly, I mean, I started stand up around the same time I got a formal diagnosis of bipolar disorder. And so they kind of went hand in hand as like a coping mechanism to be able to like get some of my thoughts out by it, but also about it rather. But also, I mean, it's kind of the same way that every comedian talks about their life. And that was just what happened to be going on in my life. And I also have enough of an ego where I'm like, well, if I start here, if I start trying to tackle this thing, like, because this is the first hour I've put together. And if I start here, imagine like where I'll get to in years,
Right.
And yeah, and that was something that I took into consideration. That, and also like I had spoken with a few friends about the condition. And there's just so much misinformation about it, specifically in like areas that aren't the coasts, because, everyone here, specifically in New York, at least is anxious. To live in the city is to have anxiety.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I really wanted to be able to condense it and be able to express it in a way that was empathetic, because a lot of, like, if it's cold and clinical, people aren't really going to, people remember jokes more than they will passages of a textbook.
Yeah, absolutely. Same.
Absolutely. And it's, one of those things of, like, I think a great way to relate to people is through humor. And I think humor is the first step towards empathy, and empathy understanding, and understanding acceptance. So it's like a chain reaction that way. And then also, I've taken the show on the road a couple of places, and every time there's always someone in the audience who has bipolar disorder and is like, "Thank you. Like, this is very cathartic for me."
Yeah, it's so much more common than people realize, and the stigma against it is really what makes it hard to know who has it, because no one wants to talk about it. And it's sad in that sense, because like you and I sitting here, I don't personally have bipolar, but I have anxiety, depression, ADHD, PTSD, and like when you get them all together, it's not that much of a difference. You know, like we all kind of have share a lot of the common core traits of things. And you know, people just assume, okay, Tristan's bipolar, he's broken. You know, and no, I mean, you can get up on a stage, you can do an hour, and bless your heart for being able to do an hour, because that's incredible. Because my ADHD personally would like, even when I would be doing open mics when I first started, and they'd say like, no notes, I'm like, notes? I've never taken a note in my life. I'm like, what are you talking about? People use notes? Like,
absolutely.
I'm like, I just get up there and just rattle shit off my brain, and that's why it makes no sense.
I understand that.
But yeah, I actually sent that 6-minute clip to two of my friends that work in the mental health profession. They're both social workers, and I was like, just watch this and share it with your colleagues, because I can't explain it any better than this. And I think the most important thing in getting people to understand it is getting people in the profession to understand it, because if they don't understand it, then they're not going to be able to help
Yeah,
us.
absolutely. It's tricky.
It is tricky, and it's a double-edged sword in that sense, I guess. And okay, so let's talk fun crazy stuff. I've gone to like three or four outpatient programs in my life. And I know you had mentioned like CBT in your show. Have you ever done a DBT?
No, what I know of it, but I haven't, no.
Okay. Well, it's bullshit. So they give you like a big binder, and they basically it's the giving you the tools in your toolbox, you know, to handle everything around you, the breathing and the you know, exercise. And I even do a joke in my set about doctors that constantly say that depression will be cured if you exercise. It's like no, like mom just died, I'm not gonna get on a treadmill and like everything's gonna be cool again. Like that's a nice thought, but like not really. So I don't know, I've just there's so many different cliches of the medical profession that they load up on you when it comes to, let's say, depression and anxiety. Is there anything that you've actually found
Oh,
help?
yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm currently on medication. That's been a godsend. I really lucked out
Yes.
that the first one I tried once I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder worked for me. I'm on a mood stabilizer, and, like, I lucked out that it responded immediately. Whereas, like, a lot of people have to go through several iterations of it. The first time I was given any medication, it was just like an antidepressant, and it just, like, it I've never been closer to killing myself. It was just, like, clear that this was, like, which fortunately, like, something good came out of that, which was that's like a tent pole symptom of having bipolar disorder, is not responding to medication the way that you quote unquote should. Like, if you do cocaine, which I've never done, But if you do cocaine, if you're bipolar, like it works like the same way Adderall
Right.
does, where it'll like focus your mind, which is one of the reasons I've never done it, because I've never wanted to like have a clear view of what's going around where everyone is on cocaine.
Yeah,
That sounds
that
like a
sounds like a nightmare.
nightmare. Like, oh, so this is what I look like normally. Great.
This is terrible. Yeah.
And I did CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, and that helped a lot, actually, of just recognizing patterns specifically with anxiety of like, okay, this is this kind of basically learning to interrupt yourself and go, hey, man, maybe not now. And the whole like creating an inner dialogue with yourself rather than, an inner monologue, which, because when you're, only having one quote unquote person in your mind talking, you think all of those thoughts are yours. What happens is a lot of times with anxiety, you have intrusive thoughts and thoughts that kind of come out of nowhere and get stuck in your head. And so having the ability to interrupt or reroute rather those thoughts and go, hey, just let's not do that. And learning to treat yourself like a friend you like is was the biggest thing. It boosted my self-esteem and it like helped me be less anxious and self-loathing even when I'm depressed. It's like the fundamental, like, what would you want to hear or what advice would you give to a friend in your situation and apply
Yeah,
that
that's
inward.
wow, that was beautifully said. it actually reminds me a lot
Thanks.
of Maria Bamford and Unwanted Thought Syndrome, I believe is what it is. And for those of you that don't know Maria Bamford, please go check out Maria Bamford because she's literally probably my all-time favorite comedian. And she does a whole, well, she did at least for a while on YouTube, and I think it's on Netflix now. Basically a whole mini series about how she had a bit of a breakdown, had to get a lot of help, and she did get the help, but her specific issue is that she has thoughts that she doesn't want to do. Basically, she has thoughts that she'll harm something, but in her head she's like, I don't want to harm that thing, but I'm afraid I'm gonna harm that thing, and if I don't harm, and that's it's such a hard thing to relate to people that don't have it or don't have anything at all similar to it. And you can kind of even compare it back to, like you said, with anxiety and such, of being an inner monologue. The anxiety basically is it takes control of your mind and you're talking to your anxiety, and it's that fear of the unknown, and it's not letting anxiety take the wheel and steer you in the wrong direction, because that's its job. Like, there's no such thing as good anxiety necessarily. There's such thing as like good nervousness. Like, if you're gonna be giving a big presentation, if you're gonna be doing something that's a job review, you're nervous, whatever, and that's anxiety, so to speak, temporarily, and that's normal. There's rational anxiety and then there's irrational anxiety. And I think sometimes it's hard for people to know the difference. If I tell someone I have anxiety, a lot of times people are like, "Why are you nervous?" I'm like, that's not how it works. There's nothing to be nervous about. I'm like, I fucking know
Yeah,
that.
that's the issue.
Like, oh, thanks for telling me. Okay, cool. We're good now. Like, why are you upset? That's depression. Oh, well, why? There's nothing to be upset about. Like, oh, I fucking know that.
That's why it's
Stop.
depression and not just being bummed out. Yeah, that's
Right,
the main
right. And
difference, is like it's unwarranted.
yeah, it's awful. So you were talking a little bit about the reception you've had by, certain audience members that may be able to relate to you with bipolar or any of the other disorders that you do talk about. What has the reception been like from people that are maybe being educated by you during the show?
I mean, I haven't had a lot of people come up and go, well, now I know. But I mean,
Right.
I think overall, like I did a Q&A and a what turned into a meet and greet when I did a show at my hometown. It was really, I'll get to that experience in a little bit. But doing the Q&A after, I think really helped people further understand, because as much as I do explain it, there are things that like are scientifically like more
Right.
And like, yeah,
serotonin
like
and all
I
that
don't talk
bullshit.
about like brain waves. Because
Why
like,
not?
there's only so much you can do with that. But so the Q&A I think really helped, and people seem to respond well to that. But I know that I've had mixed responses. Someone came up to me. I did the show once when I was still workshopping it here in New York. And someone came up to me afterwards. She goes, "You're really funny. And I think you're really funny when you focus on like the happy thing. So I think you should do that." And I'm like, "Oh, so you just didn't like the premise of the show." You're like, "It was executed well." Yeah. It
Thanks
was
for
executed
understanding.
well, but I did not care for it. Which as an artist, like, I respect that. I was like, yeah, I've seen thousands of movies where I'm like, well, this premise is cool, but then with and then on
It's
the
not for
opposite
me.
end, this was a really wonderful moment. And also it illustrates for me what's wrong with comedians of like there after the Q&A when I did it at my hometown, there was a I just stepped aside because my parents had come and they were talking to someone they knew, and I was just like waiting for them. And then a line started to form in front of me, and I didn't realize that that was what was going to happen. So I immediately like was a little on edge. I was like, oh, okay, now I have to talk to people I've never met before. It's a lot easier when they're all silent unless they're laughing.
Were you listening to the show at all? Get away
Yeah,
from me.
precisely. But someone who I'd known a little growing up came up. They came up to me and they were like, "Hey, so I was really frightened to start cognitive behavioral therapy as my doctors recommended, but now hearing you talk about it, I'm going to try it, and I want to thank you very much." And I was like, "Well, great, that's wonderful, but did you think the show was funny?"
But let's get down to the nitty-gritty details here.
And I think that's what's wrong with comedians is like, but was it good? Cool. I made a positive impact on one person's life, but did you enjoy the
Did you
show?
laugh?
But yeah, I've had like all sorts of receptions, and like I know that even just getting it into the public consciousness is like sometimes enough. Because a lot of like my hometown is like a medium-sized town in Minnesota, and it's where the Mayo Clinic is.
Yeah,
It's
that's
Rochester.
Maria Bamford, right?
But
She's not
even
from Minnesota.
she's from, yeah, she's from Duluth. So I
Oh,
love her
so funny.
comedy because we're both bipolar and from Minnesota. So I'm like, yeah, like okay, this makes sense to me. But yeah, and so like even getting the word out that way, and I know people who were living in that area that came to town to see it because they were living with it or someone they knew was living with the condition. But I haven't done a lot of speaking. I would love to. I'd love to do like a TED talk or something, holla at your boy if you're a TED. But I've done a bunch of charity shows, and like I've put together charity shows too to donate to NAMI, which is the National Alliance of Mental Illness. And then also there's a place here in town called Fountain House, which gives people with mental illness a place to like basically hang out if they need it, and also to like my an associate of mine, weird to say, a Michelle Hammer who lives with schizophrenia. She has a whole like line of products, t-shirts, everything of graphic designs and stuff that she's made while either in, a state or not. And she sells those, and that's like her job. And they let her sell her wares there and stuff like that. It's a really good institution. The only thing I don't like about it is they keep sending me letters, which
Dude, no, seriously, I donated to them once, and
yeah.
now I'm like, wait, I'm one of you.
You
I'm
don't
like, I love what you're
understand.
doing, but I might be there soon. Yeah, well, that's fine. NAMI actually does have a, God, I wish I could remember what it's called,
Yeah,
but
speakers program.
yes, and I've always kind of wanted to get
Yeah.
into that, and I've one of those things where I'm like, I just don't have the time, and now I'm like, well, maybe I should.
Well, it's a little tricky because they do like training sessions, I think like twice a month maybe. And so like unless you're available those days, and like now I'm sure like they don't they're not doing but yeah, I would like to get involved with that too, just because like from a
Let's tag
selfish
team
point of
them.
view,
How
also
about
like it builds a following, and then
that? We're just
also
gonna
like
jump them.
getting the word out is always.
Let's talk. Your ADHD. I'm curious because I was diagnosed when I went to college, when I was in college, and I look back now and I'm like, I would have done really well in high school had I known that this
Absolutely
was
not.
the thing. Were you diagnosed early on or was it a little
The way I
later?
even got my initial diagnosis of everything was I went to, there's a service here in New York where, and it's generally done for court cases, but you can go voluntarily, where you get an assessment from a group of psychologists and you get like, basically you take a bunch of tests and if you score certain levels. And coming out of that, they're like, okay, you have a mood disorder, generalized anxiety, and ADHD. And it never occurred to me, and this is when I was like 23, it never occurred to me that I had it because, within your own mind, you're so comfortable. And I kind of assumed everyone processed things that quickly and saw the connections that I did. And so I was often like agitated and confused why people couldn't follow me, but it never occurred to me. I'm also uniquely positioned because I was homeschooled up until high school. So my mother, who is an educator by trade, easily adapted her teaching style to all three of her children. So we didn't really notice that anything was different. My sister is pretty severe ADHD, and I don't think my other sibling does, but yeah, so like it was kind of hard to tell because we were the only person who was like teaching me in a formal setting was my mom, and she was like, okay, Tristan's just weird this way. But looking back, I always had to have like music playing when I was writing, and my mom thought that was
Reading a page of a
strange, and
book
like
17 times and still
jumping
not
from
knowing what the
thing to
fuck you just
thing,
read.
and like. Yeah, absolutely. And like I'm a little dyslexic as well. And so like that combination, I remember just like hating reading, but I loved audiobooks and I loved stories, but
Still.
you had to get the audiobook for me. I couldn't sit and read, I'm like, what is that? I still have a hard time with that unless I'm in a manic episode where like that's
That's
actually one of the ways I
interesting.
know that I'm in an episode.
Yeah,
Of
no, I
like
think
I'll
someone would
read
be
three
really
books in like
concerned
a
if they
month
even
and be
saw
like,
me having
oh,
books, to be honest. They'd be like, whoa, what's going on with her? It really does kind of blend into your personality. And I think my problem was that I did well in school. I got, I wasn't straight A's, but I got by pretty well. And so I just kind of fit in and no one worried about it. But like I said, with reading, like I maybe would read like half a page of a chapter and then just write an essay on what I wrote and I could just bang it out that way. And I kind of learned to work around the way they teach. And so, but I just thought that was normal. Like I thought I was clever. Like I don't know, And so when I went to college and I actually had to start, really reading and whatnot, I went to a psychologist for the first time because of my anxiety more than anything else. And while I was there, she was asking me all the questions, and I'm sure you know now about the little assessment that I give for ADD, ADHD and whatnot. And I had no idea that she was even giving it to me. And at the end, she's like, "So you have ADHD?" And I'm like, "I have a what now?" And she's like, I'm like, "Can you repeat
I'm
that? I'm
sorry, I
sorry,
wasn't
I'm
listening.
looking
Could
at
you
the
please
wall."
repeat the question?
And she told me, and then she like kind of explained it, and I'm like, "Oh, fuck, yeah, you're right. That's actually exactly what I have." And then I was like, "Oh, fuck, man, you're right. I wish I knew this. Like, this sucks." Because, and that's kind of sad because I had that same perception of ADHD and ADD that it was always just the wacky kid in the corner that got in trouble all the time that was like off the walls and like, oh, someone give him some Ritalin, like someone give him Ritalin and shut him up. And it was actually me,
Gosh,
like the kind of
it's
quiet kid
annoying.
that was like funny sometimes that just like did their work and got by. And I don't think I and that's and it bothers me a lot of times when people say, it's it's so misdiagnosed and it's overdiagnosed and this and that. And like it might be, and like I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are diagnosed that may not have it, but there's also a lot of people out there that probably are not diagnosed that do have it. And it's a tricky thing. And then there's people, adult ADHD doesn't exist. I'm like, I can fucking
No,
promise
yeah,
you that
sure.
it does, but you're gonna have to give me 15 minutes to explain it. Because I'm not gonna be listening to myself. I'm gonna have to go back and forth.
Yeah, there's this thing as well. Like, I have a couple thoughts about what you just said. Number one, like, I think you're absolutely correct that people don't take into account personality when they talk about illness like this. Because it's like, yeah, we could have the same condition, but like our personalities are so different. The way we were raised was so different. Like it does, like it manifests in so many different ways. Number two, I mean, I think it probably is a little overdiagnosed, but like it also is probably underdiagnosed in adults. And what's frustrating is also if there's no, going to your last point, if there's no such thing as adult ADHD, well, then ADHD is just being part of a child. You know, it's part of puberty. So either you have to admit that like it affects adults or and is a condition, or you have to admit that it's just part of growing up and
It's just
shouldn't,
boys being boys.
yeah, exactly. And shouldn't therefore be treated. You know what I mean? Like you have to admit that. And lastly, it's like one of those things with any sort of diagnosis, whatever makes you function internally and externally best. Like if you are successful and it doesn't really bother you and you've learned how to navigate it, and like I know people who are like 50, 60 years old, like they're not gonna change. You know, they've figured out how to work around it. And
Of
so if
course.
you're successful as a person and you're not in any sort of discomfort, do whatever you need to do. But like it is tricky that way of like, hey, you know, well.
What part of it is me and what part of it is needs to be
Yeah, what
treated?
part is hurting me or others, you know?
What's getting in the way here?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm gonna put the million-dollar question on you.
Okay.
There's someone out there, hypothetically, that is sitting there with any kind of mental illness at all that we've talked about, or anything that we
Yeah.
haven't, or even just a physical disability, that is saying, there's absolutely no fucking way I'll ever get on a stage and do anything because I'm anxious as fuck, I'm depressed as hell, people will probably hate me,
Sure.
like I might be manic at the time, and I can't pay
Sure.
attention. What do you say to them?
Well, if you want to do it, just do it. So much about positive health is getting out of your own way. And specifically about positive mental health, it's like really about getting out of your own way. And it, because weirdly, anxiety is an ego thing. It's very self-centered. And it's very like the most wonderful thing about, like, one of the most wonderful things about anxiety, like, the way I've circumvented it is like, no one cares about you, but in a good way. Like, no one remembers that thing you said that's stupid. It's fine. You know, and the other thing is like, if you're gonna start stand up now, you're gonna be doing 5 minutes. That's only 5 minutes. You can do anything for 5 minutes, you know? So you can push through that. And then also like, I don't know. So much about it is like doing, for me, it was like doing research and then learning how to best circumvent that, and like that's being aware of yourself in a way that is positive for you and others and makes it easier for others to interact with you. Because like I know I'm a pain in the ass, so I say that. I know I'm sensitive. Like my girlfriend and I have a lot of conversations about the fact that I'm too sensitive, and I'm like, I'm sorry, but I am the way I am, and it is what it is. I try to circumvent it as much as I can, but sometimes things are going to slip through the cracks. And so knowing yourself, doing research, going out, like getting out of your own way, just kind of also like if you really want to do it, just do it and then see if you like it. Like there are so many more uncomfortable things in life than talking in front of people. It's not like
Absolutely,
you're in the
yeah.
military. Like, my God. Like,
You're on
you
stage, you
can't just
can't
like
leave.
end early. Like, you can end early if you don't, if you feel like you're not doing well, you can just say, "That's my time, good night," and walk or like go off stage.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, no
No
one's
one
timing
cares.
you.
It's
Yeah.
so okay.
No one
No,
else is looking
that's
for
one of
the
the
light.
frustrating
Yeah.
things as well about like comedians will often refer to non-comedians as civilians, and I'm like, come on. Come on, just calm down. You just mean not assholes if you're saying that.
Yeah,
You
right?
know.
Crazy funny
Yeah,
people. Like, what
just
the
take it down a notch.
fuck? Tristan, I'm gonna go ahead and end it here, but I want you to please plug away everything that you would like to plug right now.
Sure. Number one, my butt. No. Stupid.
No, Tristan.
No, stop. Put down the toaster. This is not an effective way to kill yourself.
We talked about this.
But no, I have, once again, I have the podcast. If you're interested in that, positive and negative, it's available across the board. Then I have another podcast called Amateur Detective Club, where me and two of my friends review mystery media, and we're going through Agatha Christie's Poirot, right now. And I'm going to be starting making some more content online, and that'll be available over on my Patreon, which is patreon.com/TristanJMiller, where you can also get early access to positive and negative interviews. And then also there's like I've made so many podcasts. I was doing five at one point, and
Oh,
then
wow.
yeah, and looking back I was like, oh, I was clearly in an episode for
Yeah.
like months.
I was about to say, I'm like, man, I could diagnose you on
Yeah, I
that
was just like, okay, we gotta
one.
bring this in. So now I only do three. But one is whenever we decide to do it. So that's fine.
There you go.
But because of that, there's a huge backlog available on my Patreon. So you like literally have about 48 hours of content there just auto for podcasts and then a bunch of other garbage. So like check that out. You know, I'm living the dream of sitting in my house talking into microphones. Yeah. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Other than follow me on Twitter.
Awesome.
Tristan J. Miller 1, go for it. I do daily affirmations on the weekdays. So if you want to start your morning right, you can go there.
Brilliant. Tristan, thank you so freaking much for being here. I've had a wonderful time talking to you, and I hope that we can keep in touch because this is important, and I'm glad that you're doing the same thing for the same reasons that I am.
Of course. Yeah. Reach out
So
anytime.
yeah, anytime that you're starting to do shows again and stuff, whenever this whole thing is over, let me
I
know.
will. Hopefully, we'll see each other soon.
Thanks everyone for tuning into episode 3. Please check out Tristan Miller's different social media platforms as well as his website, tristanjmiller.com. I hope you enjoyed the interview. I hope it's given you a little bit of insight. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to reach out to me, Emma at emmakcomedy.com. Thank you again. Can't wait to talk to you next week. I want to start and end each episode with the number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. If you ever feel like giving up or that everything is just not enough, help is available. You can talk to a counselor, and it can be 100% confidential. I want to give a big shout out to all my Patreon supporters who make this happen. Chris Lees, Alexei Velez, Tamara Contreras, and Jennifer Unger. Thank you so much for your contribution. If anyone would like to contribute any amount at all, you can go to my website, www.mkcomedy.com, and you can find the Patreon link there. I appreciate any amount and everything helps. Thank you so much.